Previously on So What Happened Next.
I think there's a Lars in there.
There's at least one Lars, yeah. Because they yell Lars a lot. Just like doesn't matter anymore?
Yeah.
So egotistical he reverse psychology himself.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Your friendship has ended.
Well, I'll just get going early then.
Really weird joke.
It was a weird joke.
It was a weird joke.
What was that?
Without getting too far ahead, it just does everything out in the open, and it really forgoes a lot of the subterfuge from the first film.
And now, the conclusion.
Where Ramona becomes like the MacReady, and she starts taking charge of everything, and she's like, listen to me, and she actually commands like everybody's attention, even Dr. Douchebag, and she's like, so we gotta figure out like who's, you know, infected and who's not infected. And she's again refers back to like the the molars.
Before that, though.
This was after the blood test they were developing.
Because they were going to make a blood test, right? And then...
That's her backup.
Yeah, this was her backup play. But like before that, they were going to make a blood test after all this shit
happens.
That's
true.
And then Dr. Douchebag and Adam are working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the movie tries to kind of take all the mistrust that the first movie took so much time developing and just like shove it into almost a montage where like every other person they're talking to, you clearly there's distrust, everyone's giving side eyes to each other, and like they're taking blood from everybody, and it's kind of equally as bullshitty. Or no, it's not as bullshitty. Like in the first movie they're like, I could develop a blood test.
Yeah.
And that's it. They're just like, whatever, it's a blood test or something. In this movie they're like, okay, the test will work, like we're take your blood, we're gonna subject it to the thing cells, and if the thing cells assimilate the cells, then obviously you're human.
Yeah.
Whereas if the thing cells don't do shit in your cells and just maybe turn into your cells without doing anything, then you're a thing and we gotta kill you. And I'm like, this is kind of clever. Like, this works. At least we explained the blood tests a little bit more. Like, I kind of always like, how do you test for the thing assimilating you, 1980s Dr. Cooper, like, or Copper? Like, well, what do you do? How do you do that? But and then someone burns the laboratory down.
Yeah, of course.
Because the plot needs to go forward. This is too good a plan. Like, we can't have this happen.
And
they all blame each other.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the burning down the lab thing, because they straight up say the only people that had access to it is Dr. Douchebag and Adam, and neither of them are the thing, and neither of them did it. I think it was Boss Man, right? Wasn't it like the boss of the?
Yeah, you're right. It was
ultimately it's the boss of the thing. Like, when did he have time? When did he fucking?
Yeah,
do
exactly.
So that happens, and then that's where Ramona has her backup plan with the teeth fillings.
Yeah, and so she checks everybody, basically like segregates them into those two groups.
This was a good scene. I liked this.
I actually didn't like this.
Really?
I just think that they could have come up with a better way. I don't know, maybe it was intentionally, like, they did it because they knew it wasn't a reliable way to tell people apart.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when we got to the grad student guy who was like, oh, I just don't have any fillings.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys who were like, oh, mine are...
ceramic, like, or whatever.
Porcelain. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that they could have come up with a better way to to differentiate them. But then maybe that was the point. I don't know.
I was thinking the same thing, too. And I had mixed feelings about the scene overall. I guess at least you can eliminate people if they do have fillings in their mouth, which I see the scene and I'm like,
yeah,
a lot of people have a lot of fillings in their mouth. There's a lot of people not taking care of their dental health here. but yeah, maybe I'm biased because I'd be in the exact same group. I'd be fucked over by a test like this.
I would too.
I don't have any fillings.
I have I have porcelain fillings. And the thing that always bothered me is Dr. Douchebag's like, they're porcelain. And I'm like, I can see my fillings. Like, a porcelain filling, it just looks like a big white glob on your teeth. It doesn't look like a tooth.
Too white, right?
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of your tooth.
Like, it just, to me, I was like, you could see them, and it's porcelain is dirt. It's not like this thing is mimicking dirt. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, that one to me seems real. It just, they don't, I guess it's because they wouldn't stand out to the camera. Like, if we, the viewer, look in Dr. Douchebag's mouth, we're not going to be able to see them, so why should Ramona?
Would rings work and stuff like that?
Well, technically, later in the movie they do.
Yeah.
So, that...
I liked the guy at the end who defiantly just goes into line. He doesn't even open his mouth. I feel like I would have done that too, just to protest the test.
Well, the thing is, he's the thing. He's the fucking thing. Yeah. So, it's kind of a tell. But I like the scene because it's not as definitive as MacReady's scene, and it happens at a point in the movie where I think to do the blood test like they do in the original one would be really like, this is happening way too early, we have so much movie left, like what the fuck happens now? I mean, the same thing happens because it just becomes a monster gore fest for like the next 30 minutes or so, but I like it because of its ambiguity and because it builds tension where I think tension is needed, especially because you have Lars and the other Norwegian guy, and Lars, they establish very clearly, does not know English at all.
Yeah, Lars is like the Clark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but way more badass than Clark.
Yeah.
and so, him...
Not a high bar.
No, it's not a high bar at all, but he's not like a failed like scalpel assassin or something like that. He's like yelling, like they're all yelling, there's a lot of noise. I like in the original one when they're yelling and shit, that's the only sound you get. The soundscape in this film, I don't think is anywhere near what Carpenter created. Like, it's not even the same league. But this scene, they do a lot to build the tension because you have the Norwegian bros are all like saying, hey man, nah, we're all on the same team. And then you have Ramona like, don't listen to them. Like, they don't have fillings. Like, we don't know. And she's at no point advocating to just torch them all, which I think is important because, like, MacReady, like, his plot was kill. Like, oh, your blood reacts? We kill you, which is fair considering the nature of his test.
It's a more definitive test, yeah.
Right. Whereas her thing is, like, we just have to figure out what the fuck to do with them, but we can't let them near us. Like, we gotta segregate each other in order to figure out who the fuck it could be a monster, and then we'll go from there. And so the tension with that combined with by this point, by the way, guys, the helicopter pilots have miraculously returned from the cold. They survived their very, very brutal helicopter crash and marched miles across, apparently, because they crashed over like a mountain or something.
They look like they're about to freeze to death as they arrive at the threshold of the camp.
And like, fair point, someone's like, no human would have survived that. And I'm like, it's fair and arguably takes away from the movie because neither one of them is the thing and they did survive that. Maybe if they were like, oh, these guys have like Arctic military training, they're like ex-military, something to just give them a little bit more boost of, A, they got some extra skills or something, other than they're helicopter pilots. But they survive, they lock them up because they don't know.
Yeah.
They jumped one of the guys who went out after him or something. I think it's like Lars goes out to check on him with Game of Thrones wildling man. And in kind of a similar beat to when like Nalls comes back after cutting MacReady loose, he comes back and he's like, they got Lars. Like, but they don't show him kill Lars. They just say they got Lars. And then they come back in with the gun and the flamethrower that Lars had, because Lars is packing heat in this movie. He's got grenades. Yeah. He's got guns. Mm-hmm. He's got flint. This guy has, if you need to fight a war, he is way more prepared than the other guys in the other movie. Like, Norwegians are winning this one. But he, they break in, and I like it because it builds this tension, because now you have this third element where they're like, oh, fuck. It's like a cup overflowing, and you can tell that the delivery that Ramona gives is, I liked it, because she's like, okay, I got it. Like, we got it. We can't, like, keep the flamethrower on them, but, like, we have to figure this out. Like, what if they're the thing? What mm-hmm. if they're not the thing? What if they're not the thing?
Trying to balance so many things at once.
Yeah, and it's great, because I think if there's one thing that I liked her character, liked about her character in this movie, and Amber, you kind of pointed this out when she kind of becomes MacReady for a minute, there is this, like, shakiness and, like, not sure of myself type thing that she
makes
has.
Makes him more believable.
Totally, because she's like, I have to take charge, and in no way, shape, or form was I the leader in this regard. Whereas MacReady, from like the get-go, you get this vibe that he's kind of like, if you didn't tell me that Gary was the boss, I would have just assumed Kurt Russell was the boss in this movie, like, or in that movie. In this one, they clearly show you she's not it, and they build up from there. And this is kind of where all hell starts breaking loose, because they have a showdown in the hallway, and then main leader of the Norwegian guys becomes monstrified, right?
Yeah, so they have kind of a showdown between the Norwegian guys and, like, the Americans, and it ends up creating an explosion as a result of shooting, I'm pretty sure actually this is Peter, with the other flamethrower, so...
Yeah.
The black black guy shoots him, and he also unfortunately shoots his flamethrower, which causes an explosion.
Right.
And the head honcho of the Norwegian group, he hits his head and he's out. And so everybody's like, ah, shit. And of course, Peter's burnt to a crisp.
Right.
So they take him into the rec room, and they're all just trying to get, like, basically calm down, but this is where, like you said, the head honcho guy becomes monstrified.
Ah, you're a monster.
Right. Oh, that's right, because
in a really cool way.
I love the way this happened. I'm sad it wasn't practical, because I would have loved to see how this worked out in practical effects. But yeah, because Game of Thrones, man, like, is holding his arm or something, and it just comes off. And it starts crawling up his arm, and they're like, get it off, get it off, get it off. And it's like clawing in, and then it just like grabs his face.
Yeah.
And it's like,
this part was gnarly.
Oh my God. It's like sucking on his face through his mouth, and everyone's
like a face
screaming.
Hugger.
Oh,
it was so I almost felt like it was a like quick little nod to Alien.
Absolutely. It had to be, right? Because that was so, that was so like, and like snatches his face. He's screaming. Then, you know, Boss Man is like, you know, doing the shakes. And then he opens up and he starts killing everybody. And fucking Adam's dumbass just tries to run away out the room. He gets snatched right there. He's dead. Everyone's freaking
out. Well, he's still alive. That's the thing. That's
Yeah, they do the
Windows
thing.
The other one
thing.
Fused. He's the one that has his face fused to the other one.
Oh, that's right. Fucking A. Forgot about that.
That was really
that was cool.
That was so cool. And it bothers me that, like, so I guess, because one of the, if you go on YouTube, one of the scenes they actually do show that was practical was that one, when they fused faces, was like, they have this, like, practical effect model thing go over him, like it does, and it leans into his face, and then they did some makeup to where, like, it show their faces are connected, and then it, like, the animatronic, like, is screaming with him, and it pulls together, and they probably would have CG'd it, obviously, to make it, like, cleaned up.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, damn, we missed out. That would have been so fucking cool to see. Oh, my God. Like, that's a damn shame we missed out on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this whole scene is carnage. Adam is fused to the thing. He's thingified. I think it gets away. It runs off.
Yeah, before they can get the flamethrower to, because it's
thing,
malfunctioning.
It
so,
yeah.
And of course,
face runs away.
Yeah, and so I'm pretty sure a guy from Game of Thrones is pretty much dead.
Dude,
like Ramona,
he looks
like,
nasty.
Yeah, kills him.
Yeah,
he almost like gives the eyes to her. Like, it seems like he's giving the eyes to her to like kill him. Like he still
absolutely
has some of his consciousness.
Yeah. And I love the way they did it too, because he only has like one really good eye to give him, give her that signal. The other eye is like all fucked up, milky and shit. And he kind of looks at her, and I agree with you, Gio. I think he's giving her like the nod to just fucking kill me, man. Because
That's what I thought too.
Absolutely. And I kind of wish we got that a little bit with Windows in the other movie, because in the other movie it's so like
he's just too overwhelmed.
Yeah, he's just, well, he's on the ground. I mean, he's probably dead, I guess, because he has head chomp. Yeah. But he's like all covered in blood, and everyone's like, McCready, and he just like turns and torches the bookshelf. Whereas I like, there's that moment of like sentimentality of like, she has to decide like, are we even gonna try to save you?
Yeah.
And he's just like, don't, just fucking kill me. Like, don't even waste time. And he's like so jolly through this whole movie, and so it's like really like it has some weight to watch him get torched. And then you see the black guy gets torched too. Yep. And I feel like doing this twice in a row kind of takes away from each other a little bit, because it's like the same exact beat. Like, I think he got stabbed, so he's not all like transmortified. Yeah. But
yeah, it's like he's like bleeding out. Maybe he would be infected if he did live, but he's like, more like he's bleeding out than he's being assimilated.
And you know, Uncle Owen's like,
I'm sorry, little one.
Torches him, and they're like, okay, now we gotta go figure out where this fucking thing went.
Yeah, and of course Dr. Douchebag
gone.
Yeah, he's gone,
thank Christ. Dr. Douchebag fucked off and he's hiding somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think you have the other guy who ultimately is the wrist slit guy from the first movie. He's hiding in like the radio room or some shit, and
that's the last we see of him.
That's the last we see
until
of him.
The he goes in the radio
room. Yeah,
yeah.
And we hunt the thing, and we get, this is where like it doesn't really make any sense anymore. Really bad, I think, because in the other movie, like MacReady's like, it just wants to freeze, it just wants to hide, it just wants to go away so that no one will fuck with it. And this thing instead is like, I'm gonna kill everybody, because like, fuck it. So it just starts trying to kill everybody. I mean, you get some, it's, you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of the scene in Jurassic Park with the velociraptors and the kids.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. Like, we're in the shed. Yeah, or they're in the kitchen and they're running away from the raptors. Yeah. This was like that, but with this gnarly monster man thing that I can't tell if it needs to use the people eyes to see, or if it can just see, like, what's it called? Logistics of the biology of the thing are a little confusing. But they ultimately torch it, right? And it becomes the thing that they find outside in the other movie. Whoa!
Yeah.
The completely normal human that Wilford Brimley calls it. It's got organs. It's a person. Yeah. It's a regular fucking person.
But not before seeing Dr. Douchebag, who is now transmortified.
Yeah, we get that shot of like Dr. Douchebag hiding in an office.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess the implication is he's transmortified.
Yeah, he gets caught by the thing.
I think all that Blair was trying to get at is that what's on the inside counts more than what's on the outside.
I don't know, man. Adam sucked, real wholesome. Though. Adam sucked as both of those people sucked as people. So if what's on the inside counts, it was still pretty shitty. Because
especially Adam for going back on, I don't know what we saw when
fuck out
in the very one of the most stellar the scenes of this movie said that he didn't. Just, he copped out. Obviously, he was trying to kiss ass to his professor.
Fuck that guy, though. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, he could. He should have backed her up.
That shit is like, I don't know what I saw. And I'm like, fuck you, Adam. Like, you're making this movie take longer for no fucking reason. Yeah, we are
far from caring about.
That was kind of one of those predictable turns, too, that solidified some of the cartoony elements, like you were mentioning. Yeah. And I'm glad you used that term as well, because I was thinking it when I was collecting my thoughts about some of the characters, particularly Dr. Douchebag.
And it makes me wonder, like, were they trying to, I think the big problem I had was like, are they trying to recreate like a B movie in 2011 a la the 50s version, or are they trying to pay homage to like this seminal horror film from the 80s? Like, I feel like those are on two ends of the spectrum at that time, and like, you can't do both. You gotta pick one, otherwise you undermine the other. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And there are clearly parts of this film where it shines, and then there's parts where it doesn't. Like the part that we're at now, the climactic end of this fucking movie. God damn it. So we see Dr. Douchebag stow away in a snowcat and drive off, and the only people left are Ramona Flowers and Uncle Owen, and they're just like, oh, fuck, we gotta go after him because he's going to the ship. Because Uncle Owen's like, where would he go? And she's like, I know where he'd go. And then dramatic music sting as we have the helicopter shot of the snowcats driving around the thing. And they're driving all the way out to the ship. And like, he's going to leave. He's going to fly away. Which, like, you got to wonder, is that a bad ending? If the thing just fucks off and leaves and just never comes back to
it's
Earth.
It's probably like, fuck Earth. Like, that's true. I'm ready to go
right?
home.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be kind of cool?
Yeah, I didn't understand why they were so freaked out about it going to the ship. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, it's worse for it to go into civilization than it is for it to go back to the
there
ship.
There is literally nowhere better for it to go than back to the ship and away from the planet. Yeah. Like, even if it went out in the snow, it's not good. It'll freeze and it'll be there later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like going to another outpost would be the worst outcome.
Yeah.
The worst immediate outcome, because it's the only stop it could make before going to like the mainland somewhere.
And they establish later that there's a Russian outpost, what, like 50 miles away? Mm-hmm. So like, clearly it could have just hauled ass over to the Russians during like Red Scare times. Well, not Red, it's like the 80s, but still like
towards the end of it, yeah.
It's towards the end of the Cold War, but like Reagan has his shot to beef up those things politically later. Anyway, you want to give the alien to the fucking Russians? Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. Like, it'll destroy them. America wins the Cold War, I guess. Hooray. But
temporarily, until it takes over the rest of the Earth in 1 month, according to Blair's computer.
His supercomputer, the Commodore 64. But yeah, so they chase after it, off to its ship, and you get this... I hate this scene. I hate this sequence. I think it's a dumb action movie that doesn't make any sense in this film. And
I agree.
I hate it even more because when I was doing research, I figured out what this scene was originally supposed to be, and it fucking slaps. Like, it's so maddening what this... So what we got was...
It's a nightmare!
Ramona and Uncle Owen get to the ship, and Ramona falls in like a vent.
Yeah.
And survives, I guess, and ends up on the bridge of this spaceship, which is even weirder that the vent just leads to the bridge, but whatevs. And Uncle Owen's just, he's fucked off doing whatever. She sees this big pillar in the middle that's just like this weird pixelated pillar, and she's staring at it. You can tell that the actress is staring at it like it's supposed to be something else, and it's just a pillar of pixels floating around. Like, when you're watching, you're like, why are we taking so fucking long on this stupid pillar? And then she, God fucking goddamn it. Dr. Douchebag's face emerges from the shadows. But uh-oh, it's not Dr. Douchebag. It's fucking the thing. And it's a big scary monster that for some reason still has Dr. Douchebag's face.
And like it's on its chest
on
too,
its
like
chest.
Its upper chest.
It's horrible. It looks so fucking bad, guys. And thank God it just does it for a beat and then the whole face erupts into the big monster mouth. But it is so jarring that the whole thing's just ruined for me. I'm like, this looks so fucking stupid. What kind of reveal was that? It chases Ramona around, and she's got grenades and shit that Lars showed her earlier, obviously, and stuff. And so she's trying to blow up stuff. They want to blow up the ship, and it chases her into an air vent, and she's stuck there, and we're dealing with it. It's tendrilling a little too close to Mary Elizabeth Winstead for comfort, like, you know where this is going type thing. And, she, like, lunges for the grenade because somehow it got across the way, and the thing grabs her, and this is... The thing touched her, guys. We've established that contact with this thing is bad. Like, if it touches you, you're fucking monster.
Yeah,
fight.
You're telling me those tentacles don't have suckers, at least, or something on those?
Just tentacles. are clearly, like, grab her by, like, they drag her out. She's holding the grenade. You don't see that she has the grenade. It goes to, like, eat her, I guess, or something. And I think Uncle Owen comes in, distracts it for a quick minute, and she chucks the grenade in its mouth. And, oh, look, she had the grenade. She chucks it in. It drops her because it's, I guess, choking on the grenade, trying to get it out of its mouth. Its tendrils go in its mouth. They start running, and then this one grenade that blows up inside the monster causes a catastrophic event that just kind of blows the ship to hell.
Well, I thought the ship was just shutting down as a result of, like...
But it, like, broke it, right?
I guess it did, yeah.
It's a big explosion.
Yeah, you're right. It actually did, because why wouldn't it have been able to use it in the next movie?
But right.
Yeah, so...
Because it... like, this is where they do the thing where it burned off all the ice, so now it revealed itself, and there it is. The original version of this scene that was filmed and done for the test screenings was so much cooler. Ramona enters the ship, and she sees on the ground there's a bunch of dead tentacle monsters, right, that look like the thing. They're all corpses strewn around, and you realize, oh shit, the thing that we see isn't the real thing. It's the tentacle monster. It was on here and it took over the tentacle monsters and killed them all. And then you, like, the pillar is supposed to be, like, showing where it's going, or that it's trying to, like, communicate with its people or something. Like, basically, like, we're going to come fuck up Earth. And then the reveal isn't fucking weird Dr. Douchebag chested monster. It's like the, it's supposed to be, like, actually what the thing looks like. And it's this, to what you said last week, Allie, this eldritch horror, like, Lovecraftian monster supposed to kind of emerge. And then the rest of the sequence kind of goes from there, where it's chasing her and she has to throw the grenade and all that good shit.
Oh my god, he's so goddamn cool!
Oh, that's so much cooler.
Apparently, the people of 2011 disagreed with you hard, because that's the scene they got in the test screenings. And everyone was like, but why isn't it Dr. Douchebag? They had such, like, they were fighting the whole time. We never see that tension get relieved, because we don't see him die. And so they're like, it would be cooler if, like, it had Dr. Douchebag's face and then it turned into the monster. And so the execs were like, okay, make it happen. And they were like, how do we make that happen? Like, just put his face on it. And they were like, just anywhere? And
just
they literally just slapped his fucking face on there. It's... off. And of course, they, like, got rid of the tentacle monsters. They shortened the whole scene down a ton, added that weird pixelated pillar, and just, like, that's the movie.
That pillar had no purpose.
And it's, we hang on it for so long.
I know.
Why?
The mystique was kind of cool. Like, it definitely caught my eye. If it ended up being consequential, I think there was potential of including something like that, like something you hadn't thought of, some kind of insight into its technology or something.
Yeah, but they went, if they had done something with it would have been cool, but they didn't. They were just like, oh, look at this thing.
I don't know, show a freaking planet or something.
It didn't have any consequence.
I mean, I think it would have been, I agree with both you guys. I think the way it's shot, we hang on it for so fucking long that it's just like, why? Like, what is she so intrigued by? Right, that I the viewer have to watch this long dragged out cut, looking at it cut to a different part of it. We're zoomed in on the thing shifting pixels around, and I'm like, what is it doing? But I agree with you, Gio. Like, it is intriguing and it's unique and it's alien, and I think as a, like, quick shot of, like, oh shit, what is this fucking thing, that would be interesting. And I think, like, maybe if they used it, like, instead of her throwing the grenade into Dr. Douchebag thing, she threw it at the pillar, and it just, that's what caused this, like, crazy chain reaction. That maybe would have been a cooler way to do it. Kind of like a...
That would be cool.
Like, if she was like, I know I'm going to be dead now, but you know what? I'm making sure you don't get out of here, because for some reason that's not cool. So she just, like, chucks the thing in the tower, blows up, you know, causes all the ruckus, and we're done. But we didn't get that. And then we get the final ending bit, which, Amber, you want to take away on the last little end shot here with her and Joel Edgerton in the car?
Yeah, so they escape and make it back to the cat.
Yeah, Snow Cat.
Thing? Yeah, Snow Cat. And they're, you know, getting ready to leave. And she notices he doesn't have his earring anymore.
Yep, because we hang on it. Ooh. We hang on it. I was like, oh, hey, he's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a scene when they get in the snowcat before where the camera just sits on his ear. Center of the screen just sits on his ear, and there's clearly an earring.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, I get it, movie. Okay.
Yeah. And so she's like, subtle. You know how I knew you're human? He's like, how? And she was like, because of your earring. And of course he touches the wrong ear.
I like that touch.
Yeah, though. I did like that.
Yeah, I liked that too. Yeah.
I really liked that.
And she has this moment of like, God damn it. And she just like blows him away. Yeah. Basically.
And he goes into the thing shriek. Because he tries to, he's like, no, wait, let's talk about this. And just slow motion fry his
ass. Which is the first time she actually was just like, yeah, go for it. Because like every other time she hesitated to like actually kill somebody. And it was always done by someone else. But, like, there's this time she was movie. Like...
There's a much better movie here. It just follows her that I feel like got buried somewhere along the way.
But even then, like...
Absolutely.
Yeah. But even then, after she torches him and she gets into the other cat car that Dr. Douchebag / alien came in, she has that moment of, like, silence where... I feel like, at least for me, she was kind of debating on whether she was the thing as well or not. Yeah.
How do you know?
It just kind of fades to black from there.
Well, then the post-credits sequence, or during the credits sequence,
the epilogue. The epilogue, thinking of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great, and I think it's, they did a really good job. Actually. I liked
this. It's one of my favorite parts.
The attention to detail, right? Like the helicopter looks like they just picked up the prop from the original film. That
it was like shot for shot exactly the same.
So I did see one little flub, I think. And it's not that it's bad, but they definitely reused shots of the dog running in the snow from the original film, because I might be wrong, but when the dog runs past, so just for you guys listening, helicopter from Norway comes, lands, and is like, hey, is anybody here? Place all burned out. Turns out, Lars isn't dead. Lars was just tied up somewhere, and he got out. He's got, like, a rifle now, like an assault rifle, and he's, like, shooting at the guy, and he tells him to show him his teeth. This is all in Norwegian. And he says, show me your teeth. He shows him his teeth. He's like, okay, we gotta make sure nothing got out. Da-da. And then the dog from the beginning of the 82 movie runs by. Except this is where it was weird, because like the dog that runs by them is not, it did not look like the same dog that was running in the shots after that and in the beginning of the 80s movie, which it's so blinking you miss it, but like this dog is just not the same dog. And then he's like shooting at it. We're like, we gotta chase it. And then after that, they start reusing footage where they're flying. It's like the helicopter shots of it. And I love it because you just get in the helicopter and they're off to the races to go chase this dog down. And we, the viewers who've seen the other movie, know exactly where this is going now. And so the Carpenter movie begins. And that's the thing, 2011.
Wow. Yeah.
And the worst part is, I feel like we glossed over a chunk of this movie, but like all it was, as far as I could think of, is just monster kills. Like for a large chunk, there's just the monster killing people.
It leaned too much into that for sure. That was one of my biggest issues with it. Like you said, it did have a lot of potential, and some of that potential was realized. One thing I meant to comment on earlier is where it matched or surpassed the original was in the scene where they're all kind of arguing, and almost like the nationality angle kind of comes into it, and Kate's trying to keep attention on the people who are suspects and the people who are coming in, and her comrades who she specifically had quarantined, kind of break out of their quarantine and come back in. I felt like all the yelling and chaos was kind of, it was more intense in like a good and realistic way compared to even some of the scenes in the original.
I agree. I like
that. And there's like a few moments like that and all the inorganic matter and like the microscope scene and all that, where this one really shines, and it's like a few fleeting moments where it lives up to its predecessor, but then of course it kind of gets buried too much in, I don't know, the would say the executive's perceived desire for monster kills over anything.
Yeah, I agree. I think, there, like I said, there's parts of this movie where it looks like a much better movie was buried under a lot of BS. And I think you really see that with Kate's character, and the way Winstead delivers it is just very much like this, like the movie I feel like I should be watching is her kind of arc of like, I am just here to do a job. I'm not the boss. I don't need to be the boss, whatever. And then it's her being forced into this position of I have to take charge, which I think is nice because not only does it juxtapose the first movie by just having a woman in it for starters, but also juxtaposes the very like sure and ready to go-ness of MacReady, who like the minute it's offered for someone to be boss, he kind of is just like, yeah, I'm going to be boss, Giles, you sit the fuck down, like it's going to be me, and like goes from there. And I think it's nice because like that's kind of another layer that would be cool to see in a movie like this, where not only can you not trust anybody, but like you have trouble trusting yourself. And I think my theory here is that at the end of the movie, she knows she got touched by the thing. And I think, Amber, you say she has that somber moment in the snow cat. And I think that's really where her arc ends. And it almost ends right kind of where it began, is she now can't trust herself. Because if she goes back, is she going to end up taking the thing with her? You know? Like, and it's a scary thought. Is it's almost like the Childs and MacReady scene where it's like, you can't trust who you're with, but when you're the only one left, can you even trust yourself? Because like you pointed out, and I think this movie tries to tiptoe around, is like, when do you know you've been transmorgified into the thing? Like, at what point do you make that shift? Because clearly we see it can go pretty deep, like with Game of Thrones guy, you can get pretty messed up before you, I guess, lose yourself in it. I don't really know. So yeah, I think that was, that's an interesting thing. And I think that is very well articulated in the scene you mentioned, Gio, where it's like, she's trying to balance all these things, but she's not the leader. She doesn't want to be the leader. It's like, that is the, it's being thrust on you to do something about this. And she kind of fails in that regard, right? Like, and that would lead into the end where she takes charge and is like, we're going to go kill Dr. Douchebag because I have to make a decision to do something now. There's a much better movie wrapped up in here. Like, there really, really is. Allie, what did you think of this movie?
So, before we like get into my final thoughts, I have a question because I was confused about. I thought that from the 1982 movie, I thought that there was only one survivor from the Norwegian outpost, and that was Lars, right?
No, there's. Yes, but there was the helicopter pilot who tried to stop the grenade.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So there's two people flying back on the helicopter, yeah.
So, okay, that's true. So are we supposed to just think, like, I feel like there's a continuity error there where, so if we are supposed to, at the end of this movie, believe that Ramona gets away and survives, like, how did that tie into the original?
Well, I think the events of, if say Ramona's not infected, she gets away, right? These movies are like back to back with each other. There's no way that like anyone involved in the 80s movie would know that Ramona had anything to do with anything. Because Lars gets killed quick.
Okay.
Their communications are down, so it's not like McMurdo or the Russians or someone can say, hey, we got this woman saying she survived a Norwegian attack. Like, what's up? You guys are the closest ones. Have you checked this out? Like,
that's kind of what I figured. Either that or I figured, like, she somehow died, like, in the meantime.
Yeah, and I think there's, like, a forced ambiguity there, right? Like, I guess if we follow what I said, where it's like, oh, she doesn't know if she could trust herself. Maybe she just let herself die.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe she killed herself in the snowcat. Yeah. Who knows? But it's sort of like a forced ambiguity that doesn't need to be there because, weirdly enough, the 80s movie kind of ties it up nice just by being so isolated. It just kind of makes it make enough sense back to back with the other film. So,
yeah.
That works out.
Yeah. Yeah, well then, I actually kind of like the idea that she, like, didn't trust that she was human, and so she just let herself die. I think that's...
I think it makes the movie
that's an interesting, dark kind of take.
Yeah. Let's say, if she knew that she only got touched on the hand, she could have pulled an Ash Williams.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, that would have been
groovy.
Army of Darkness style, like... She walks.
And she could have replaced it with a flamethrower instead of a chainsaw.
Holy fuck! That would be amazing! Like, it goes, like, the thing three is, like, Childs and MacReady sitting in the snow cat, and then they just see, like, this figure walking up, and they're like, who the fuck? And then Childs, or whoever you want to be the thing, starts, like, freaking out, and just flames erupt from this shadowy figure's hand, and they're like, what the hell? And then, boom, it's Ramona, arm, flamethrower, tank strapped to her back, just like, come with me if you and they have to go to the
Army of Frostbite.
Yes! And they have to go to the Russian base because somehow the thing got over there.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
That's the third movie. That can be your fucking creature feature one, man. Just have them, you're killing everybody. Like, just going hard. There
Whole
it
camp
is.
At that point.
That'd be such a fun movie.
And that's where you gotta go. Is it gonna be a B movie, or is it gonna be this, I guess what you can call nowadays, like, a high horror movie, right? Like, you gotta pick one. And Army of Frostbite, that is easily a B movie through and through. Just Winstead torching people with her flamethrower arm. Like, throw a couple groovies in there, and you got a movie right there. Have Bruce Campbell play maybe the Russian leader of the base, just to tie it all up. Oh man, this is writing itself, guys. This is writing itself. But anyway, your other final thoughts on this film, Allie?
I kind of think we touched on all of them, honestly. Like, I just think, like, I wish it had kind of, like, found its way to, like, kind of be its own movie rather than, because I think there was so much of it, like, kind of trying to emulate the original, but then, like, also trying to differentiate itself, and it just fell in this weird middle ground where it was just kind of like an awkward movie.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, so after we watched it, Cayman asked me if you hadn't, like, if the original thing didn't exist and you had just seen this one, what would you think of it? And I, like, for it to, like, stand on its own, it was, like, an okay movie, but a lot of the, most of the parts that I liked about it were, like, existing plot elements.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I think it was just kind of unnecessary.
Well, the box office numbers agreed with you, because this movie cost more to make than it actually made back. And I guess it just didn't hit. Like, it was not, people didn't give a shit about it. And whether it was because they were big fans of the thing, or it was just a mediocre movie, like, they didn't go through with it. The other travesty that was, the bullet dodged, I think, is that originally the producers or the executives wanted to just straight up remake The Thing. Like, they wanted just to redo it, and the people who were writing this movie and directing it were like, we are not touching that. That is, like, a sacred ground area. We're not fucking with this shit.
Yeah.
And they were like, how about reboot it, or make a kind of prequel? They went the prequel route. I mean, 2011, people doing that, you know, so they went with that. Amber, your thoughts on The Thing 2011. What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't really like it that much as a result of seeing, like, the original one. I mean, after having, you know, talked about this movie, I think there are a lot of good points that were made. But in the end, I think just the CGI along with the kind of loose plot line... it wasn't, like, super, I guess, after, like, talking about it more, I think like a lot of the stuff, it kind of, like we said, turned into like more of a monster movie than like what actually made the thing to originally begin with. And so I think that kind of made the plot a little bit like, like a lot of the characters were just like kind of throwaway. And then it just kind of like sped up until you get to like the very end.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, on the note about the CGI, I don't know if you guys, we've actually watched it and it was okay. But this movie, like the fact that they kicked all those practical effects out of this movie drove the person who did the practical effects for this film to like, I think it was like crowdfund his own fully practical affected horror film called, I think it's called Harbinger Down. It's similar to The Thing. It's like similar to like The Thing in Alien. And it has the guy who plays, is it Bishop from Aliens?
No,
the android? Whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has the guy who plays the android from Aliens in it, which is kind of a neat touch. The movie's okay. I mean, give it a watch if you want, but it's fine. Like, from someone who worked on The Thing and did this awesome work, I was expecting a little bit more in that department.
Good, not great.
Gio, you got any other final thoughts on this movie other than what you expressed? Or?
Yeah, I would say it definitely had a lot of potential, and I think you said it well in that there was a better movie buried underneath it. I didn't dislike it overall. Perhaps I went into it with more of a critical eye, especially being a big fan of the original. I might be just going in looking to pick things apart, whether I want to realize it or not in the moment on a first view. But some things I did like that I didn't touch upon before. In the more ambient and less already at 100 aspects of the movie, the ambient sound design and some of the OST were really cool. Like, I particularly liked in the intro scene, just the eerie sound that the signal that they were after was making. I remember thinking that at the beginning. I know you guys were talking about the joke, but I think I was more focused on the sounds. That was a really cool one. And a lot of the OST before they get down to the ship, when they're in the caverns, first getting to Antarctica, is very cool. In the more action-packed, I feel like it's a little more out of place and kind of reveals itself as being, I don't know, too focused on the action. And other than that, yeah, as I said, I think it leans too much into the creature feature element, as well as suffering from underdeveloped characters for the most part.
For sure.
Overall, though, not bad. Like, I'm glad I finally caught up with it overall. For any Chernobyl fans out there, I'd say 3.6 Röntgen. Not great, not terrible.
Okay, so I guess since you're here, out of 10, for us who haven't seen Chernobyl, out of 10, we'll start with you, Gio. What are you giving this movie? And then would you suggest people watch it? Regardless of whether they're fans of The Thing or not, of the original, do you suggest people watch this movie?
I would say 6.7. Okay. And for fans of The Thing, I would say yes. I would suggest just checking it out. I think, but for me, I've always had an easy time letting go of, I guess, like subpar sequels or anything like that. I have a tendency of not letting them spoil the original for me, where I know not everybody's like that. For instance, Terminator series ended after Terminator 2.
What, Terminator and Genesis?
Alien ended after Aliens.
You didn't dig Terminator Genesis?
No,
Alien Covenant.
Thank you for bringing that up. You
thank you.
Jarred my mind on something that I was thinking of while watching this movie. I would say there's a lot of parallels between the original Alien and the original Thing, and then this movie and Alien Covenant. They kind of suffered from the same faults. Like the later one suffered from the same faults compared to the original.
Yeah.
And I was much of the same mind of Alien Covenant, where it had its breakthrough moments that were really interesting, but I ultimately didn't like it as much as the original for the same reasons: less developed characters, and it was focused too much on the action and had too many cliches as well.
Yeah. And I think Alien Covenant doesn't do the explain the monster as well. Like, it tries, and I think it does it so much that it just, I personally think it kind of undermines the xenomorph as a sort of mysterious monster entity. But obviously we're not talking about that movie. Allie,
mm-hmm.
How about you? Out of 10, and then would you suggest people watch this movie or no?
All right. I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know. I'm between 5.5 and 6.
So 5.7.
I think I agree with Gio. Like, if you really like The Thing and you kind of want more, like, it's worth the, like, oh, I have nothing to watch tonight. Like, I'll just put this on.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of watch, you know? But if somebody, like, you know, wasn't really a fan of horror or anything, I wouldn't suggest that they watch this.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, unlike The Thing, I think this is not the movie to, like, show somebody who's like, I don't know if I really like horror or not. Like, I'll watch this movie. Like,
yeah, no, absolutely you're gonna not.
Hate it. It's not a good jumping off point. It's not, aside from its very few, like, breakthrough shining elements, it's not, like, too unique.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the setting.
Yeah.
I think you really have to have seen, if you're going to appreciate this movie at all, you have to have seen the original. Absolutely. And even then, it's like,
yeah, you might just be disappointed.
yeah.
Amber, I feel like you might have the lowest number in the room, but I might be having my bets here too much. What is your rating out of 10, and would you suggest people watch this film?
So, I think I'm going to give this, like, probably, like, a 3 out of 10.
Fuck.
And that's because, like, I think would I suggest watching this movie? I think the movie is only worth watching for the last few minutes at the end John Carpenter's Thing.
I adored that sequence.
Yeah,
I think it's really well done. Cut into the credits like that, it's great. Like, mm-hmm. I love how it's chopped up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's really well done compared to the rest of this film.
But it's also really sad as a result of that, right? Because everything else is just kind of garbage.
Yeah, when your best part is the credits, it's kind of not.
Yeah, so I think what Ali said, like, if you want a little bit extra,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, go for it. I guess, like, it won't hurt you, but I think you would be fine with just the first one and not ever knowing that the second one existed or pretending that it doesn't exist.
Okay. This movie, so Gio compared it to Alien Covenant versus Alien.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's so much like one of my guilty pleasure films is Pacific Rim. I fucking love Pacific Rim. Like, it's aesthetically awesome. It's obviously not a deep fucking movie. It's robots fighting monsters. But, like, that's all it does. It just presents itself, and it does it well. It's you know, Guillermo del Toro, brilliant filmmaker. Like, he does such a good job with the aesthetics of the film. It's great. And I mean, even on a visual level, like, it hides its cruddy CG pretty well. It does a good job. Then there's Pacific Rim Uprising, which is just like this shit ass sequel that's like, it can't decide whether or not it wants to be Power Rangers or what. And the highest point of that's Charlie Day. And you can tell half his shit, he's filming it alone in some studio somewhere. Who gives a fuck? It's not a great movie. I don't really enjoy it. It hits almost like the second Independence Day film, but I don't want to say it's that bad. But it's not good. This movie hits me like that. It's kind of, to you guys' point, like, if you want some more, you can watch it. I think this movie's a little bit better than Pacific Rim Uprising, because, like, I can watch Pacific Rim and be like, I'm done. Whereas this one, I've noticed a lot, like, if I watch The Thing, 1982, the next movie I watch is the Thing 2011. Like, it's nice. I always find myself comparing them. It's almost become like an intellectual exercise at this point, where it's like, okay, what did I get out of the Thing this time? Okay, now what did I get out of the other Thing this time? And it's just like, on this rewatch, like, I never really thought about like Ramona's arc as like the thing that should have been the movie, of her kind of finding that confidence and moving forward with it, only to end up doubting herself in the end. It's a delightfully dark way to end that arc, and I wish that that was the movie, or at least that it was more in the forefront. So I would give this, like, I watch it, I guess, a lot more than I probably should for rating it this low, but I think I give it like a 6.3. It got a lot of gripes with me. A lot of the motivations either don't exist or just contradict themselves, like with Dr. Douchebag, to where it's just like, are you, you know, is your character selfish and like wants to be rich and famous, or is he just like a misogynist? Because it's surprisingly, at certain points in this movie, you can't be both. Like, you have to pick one. And I feel like the misogyny is a little bit of a weaker character aspect for him in this film, so like, why not lean into it the other way? A lot of things just seem to happen to make the plot go, as opposed to like something that's organically happening that's causing problems, kind of like in the original film, where like it does sort of follow that chess game from the beginning, where right when you think you got it, you think you figured it out, ah fuck, it did something you weren't expecting and it beat you, and the only thing you could do is go nuclear. And in this movie, it's like, yeah, we just kind of decide it can't leave the planet because it's not allowed. I don't know, how dare we let it leave? Like, it doesn't really make any sense. For people, I agree with a lot of guys. If you've seen The Thing, the Carpenter Thing, or even the 50s Thing, this might be one to take a look at. Like like Gio said, and I agreed with, I love that ending credits bit. I mean, it's a great segue into, and I mean, it really shows how back to back these two movies are, and it's awesome. But like, do you need to sit through like 2 hours of it, you know, to get there? Like, I don't think so. This movie kind of doesn't even think so when it just skips a huge bunch of it to be Jurassic Park, but worse, you know? I think the CG shit, and it always takes me out of it. It's just, even for 2011, like, it just looks so bad. And I'm like, this is Universal Studios. You could have done better. Like I said in the last episode, I went to the Halloween Horror Nights for this movie, and it was better looking in person than this film on TV. Like, come on. So yeah, I
wish I'd been there now.
It was cool. It was so cool. I mean, you got the dog monster popping out at you. I mean, like, I was like, from me to my microphone, from the dog monster, and it just looks like it did in the 80s movie, and you're in it, and it just... I think if I didn't experience that, this movie might not be as bad. But it definitely...
Hopefully they reprise it.
It was easily the best house that year. And I don't even know if I had seen The Thing by that point yet. I don't remember when we watched it versus when that occurred, but...
2011.
Yeah, so it could have been within months. I have no idea. But it was what it was, so here we are. So, with all that being said, I think that'll do it. For The Thing 2011. Gio, Ali, thank you for once again coming on to the show and talking this film. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sorry, I guess, to have made you guys watch this movie.
No, I needed to get around to it.
Dang, I'm sending you a bill.
Yeah. You'll get a bill in the mail. Yeah. No, and I think, you know, you guys hadn't seen it before, and if you like the original, like we all said, it's something to at least experience once. But to continue our just too damn cold January, Amber, what do we got to round this month off next week?
So next week we'll be going over The Shining.
That's right. We're going back to Kubrick, gang, and we're talking The Shining.
Here's Johnny!
We're going to be talking that classic. Also takes place in a cold place, but not Antarctica. It's actually Colorado. Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Of course, once again, you guys are welcome to come back for that one if you have time and can. But until then, I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
I'm Allie.
And I'm Gio.
And this is So What Happens Next. Small Screens. We'll see you guys next.